Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and I want to say everybody Happy New Year. This is Let's Find Out at bbsradio.com, and we are walking into the love and the year 2013. It's really getting exciting. The person that was just singing Open My Heart to the World is William Vitalis, who is a fabulous musician, and I totally honor his work. We are on line tonight. We are live, and I would love to have you call in. The number is 888-627-6008. My guest is Mark Dodich. He's one of the world's renowned astrologers, and he will be able to answer any of your questions for 2013 if you call in. So I want to say that Mark is from Portland, Oregon. We have worked together for many, many years, and both of us tonight are going to try to explain to you and tell you what is coming between now and the spring equinox, March of 2013. Again, Happy New Year. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and good evening, Mark. How are you?
Doing very well, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about what you do, especially about couples. I think you're very good with couples and the relocation chart.
Sure. Of course, relationship astrology, everybody likes to know when they're compatible with a person or not. And the interesting thing is a lot of people think that relationship astrology or compatibility astrology is just for romance. But I do relationship astrology for business partnerships, for new hires of employees. I do family relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, quite often when there's challenges within a family. And I even have done divorce relationships when people are having a complicated divorce on what's the best way to end a relationship.
My goodness.
So there's quite a wide gamut that falls under the umbrella of relationship astrology.
Yeah, one of the girls wrote me in an email this week and wanted to know if you do the new baby, Mark.
Oh, love doing new babies. In fact, with some people, I know a person's had the child before the grandparent knows. They'll send their date and time of birth, and you know, there's a variety of things I can do, from a cute computer report for the child to, you know, the full-on bells and whistles of the relationship of the parents to the child.
And I think one of the most important things that you might be able to do is to tell the people of the child's attributes, so that if they want him to be a doctor and he isn't going to do that, you would already know that, correct?
Well, what you look at is what are the talents and challenges, and then you can compare it to the parent to see where they plug in what we'll call a nice harmonious way, or where they might have challenges with the child. And it's kind of like having a leg up in advance of, you know, what's really going on in the relationship.
I think that's terrific. I really do. You know, with New Year's coming in, we all want to know who was the firstborn for 2013. And they have that in most of the newspapers. And I think that 2013 is going to be a powerful year. I do think it will be an emotional year. It's supposed to be the year of water. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about 2013.
Sure. First off, just to give people some comfort, I do think that this year is going to be a little bit easier than the past couple of years. And that doesn't mean that we get a pass and we don't get to do our work or that. It's just I think that there's going to be more of what we'll call the divine feminine or a soft feminine energy to come in to help. So many of the challenges from the past couple of years are still around, and we can talk about those. But finally, there's a little bit of flow and harmony, but it is going to require people to, shall we say, trust being in the flow and allowing things to grow organically rather than trying to control them excessively.
Well, that's very difficult, you know. I'm telling everybody that this is the year of emotion because of the fact that their status quo is going to change. Now, we don't know how it's going to change, Mark, but it is going to change because in order for us to grow and open as new souls, we're going to have to let go of the old ways and start new ways. Don't you agree?
I do. And, you know, when you say something like this is a year of emotions, and I totally agree with you that it's an emotional year this year, but a lot of people go right to the negative pole, like, oh, my mm-hmm. God, something bad's going to happen. And mm-hmm. and it is true. I'm seeing people deal with some pretty serious health issues and financial issues and all those sort of things. But it's also saying, what is it that really nurtures me? And what does my spirit really want to do? Not just what do I have to do to pay my bills? And that is getting more in touch with, shall we call it, heart level type work.
Right. I think the heart is going to open more, especially in the sign of Cancer, because with the full moon inside of Cancer just before New Year's Eve, which is tonight, I do feel that people are coming into the feminine energies. But the other thing is, that people have to understand that when they're told that they need to let go of something, they need to let go of it. And they want to hang on and they want to have control and they want to prove their point. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So there's going to be two things that are really significant. Certainly the first half of this year is what we call the Grand Trine, which is triple water, Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces, all working in harmony with each other in a closed link. And that's the part that says we're going to trust and we're going to need to let go and we're going to need to use our intuition to be in harmony with what's going on. And for those who have problems letting go, we've got things we talked about back at, the fall equinox with Uranus and Pluto blowing things up if we don't let go. So on one level, I look at it, well, knowing we're going to have to let go of what we don't need anymore anyways or what we're done with or old paradigms, why not let it go since we know it's going to be let go anyways instead of waiting till it's, you know, ripped out of our hands and leaves a ragged edge? And so both
That's
are going
true.
On. There's the harmony and the flow through the water signs, and yet there's this pattern called a T-square that, you know, as you know, would look like a capital letter T if they were to draw it in, which is going to motivate them to say it's time to get on with our life and what we've come to planet Earth to do.
Right. I also want to know how you feel this new year is going to shape up for mainly America, because I'm seeing a lot of water, a lot of earth changes in America. Are you feeling that as well?
Well, and I think on the level of the United States that a lot of what we're saying for individuals is going to be true, too, because, you know, using the July 4th chart for the United States, that means the United States sun was in the sign Cancer. Mm-hmm. So that means as we get closer to summer, there's actually going to be a lot of things helping it. However, at the same time, there's this T-square pattern I was talking about, which has also been challenging it, both in terms of how we deal with foreign countries and, you know, our philosophy, as well as you know, where we need to be generous and where we need to tighten the belt strings, shall we say.
Now, can you talk a little bit about what a T-square is?
Sure. So if you would just imagine a capital letter T, and I like to describe it as a three-legged chair that's trying to find a fourth leg. Or think of a row of dominoes. You knock one domino over and the whole row goes over. And the idea is that we're all being called to be integrated at a higher level, which sometimes can mean that we're being pulled apart from multiple directions so that we can then be put back together in a better way. So on the think of the base leg of the T, you know, the vertical part, is the planet Uranus. And Uranus says, let's throw a revolution. It's time for innovative new ways of thinking. It's time to be fresh. It's time to be inventive. You know, it's a throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. And then across the top of the T, on one side of the T, we've got Pluto and Capricorn. And Pluto's kind of a burn-your-bridges-behind-you kind of a planet. And that's, over the next couple of years, is really going to be playing big on the United States chart, which we can talk about that as well.
Yeah, we
But for the short term, it's in Capricorn, which says we need to make a slow restructuring that's basically going on from 2008 to 2023. And that's all the things you see with the infrastructure of the country that needs to be repaired, or the tax system doesn't really work anymore. Things of that nature are a bigger term thing.
Well, the fiscal cliff, of course, is a part of it. And I think that we're going to go over the cliff. We are, don't you agree?
Well, certainly there's going to be a wake-up call here. I'm still hoping that in the next month or two that they'll be able to figure something out. But I think in the short term, they are going to let it, shall we say, give us a little scare.
I think that we are, and I think that people are going to start being up in arms, and that maybe others will listen. The people in power might begin to listen, because it has been very difficult. Again, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I want to tell you that you can call 888-627-6008 and have a conversation and ask a question to Mark Dotage about what's coming ahead for you astrologically in 2013. What do you see at the Obama swearing in? I saw a little upset, Mark, and I feel that there's some kind of a problem on that day. Can you tell us what the stars say about January 20th?
Sure. Well, you know, just to start it off with the, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but last year, the last inauguration 4 years ago, the moon was in a void of course phase, which in astrology means that that's when you should do your laundry, not be sworn in for a whole new thing.
Yeah,
and so I wrote them a note and I said, oh, you guys should postpone the swearing in ceremony for a little bit. And of course, they didn't do it. And you remember it got botched and they had to go back the next day and redo it.
In a back room. I do remember that.
That happened at the last inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
At this one, and I'm not sure exactly what time the swearing in will be, but
noon time.
Oh, well, so good. The moon will still be in Taurus. It won't have gone void, of course, at that point in time. And, you know, Taurus is about our values.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously this inauguration is going to have to do with what are our shared values? What are the values we want to hold for the next 4 years? And at the same time during this day, the moon, which is emotions, is going to be in a challenging relationship. We call a square. Just think of a 90-degree angle to the planet Mars. And Mars is hurry up, I want it yesterday, and the moon is emotions.
Yeah, but
so
Mars is also power, isn't it, Mark? So that somebody could be questioning his power?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, when you're looking at a country, you know, what we call mundane astrology, the moon has to do with the feelings of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And Mars has to do with impatience and anger on a low level.
Right.
And that could be saying, just like we're talking with the fiscal cliff conversation, is, hey, you guys, hurry up. It's time to get on with things and stop dinking around, you know. And so there could be a certain impatience or irritation or emotional anger, you know, as a part of that. And so we'll just have to watch the speech and if he isn't, watch to see if he's, you know, like impatient with Congress for, you know, not pulling
not
together, shall
we
call
it. Not agreeing with him and stuff, sure.
Yeah.
But I saw him standing there with a tall hat on. It looked like a Lincoln hat or with a crown. And I saw him not well, and I saw another couple with him on the podium. And then later when I was meditating, I thought that he might have kind of a fall or a sprained ankle or something. So that was interesting to me.
Hmm. Well, I know that the planet Neptune, which rules our immune system, it rules spirituality, it rules higher vision, is going to be challenging his moon, which is his emotions, all year next year.
Mm-hmm.
And on a health level with the person, that could just be, you know, you catch a cold and you better stop and take care of yourself so it doesn't get worse. But on a presidential level, that would say, how are we going to help the world step into this higher vision when not everybody's looking in a forward direction?
That's true. That's true. But then you know what everybody's looking for New Year's Eve. They're looking for love. And I want to hear Linda Ronstadt tell us a little bit about what we have to do to find love.
You mean tonight?
When you wish up. upon a star makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to is in your dream. No request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star like dreamers do.
Well, there we are. Linda Ronstadt is wishing upon a star. And Mark, I think half the world is wishing upon a star. May I have this dance on New Year's Eve?
Absolutely.
So where did
Leo.
We...
It's a good night for opening hearts.
I think it is. I do think it is. And here we are with the winter... we've just passed the solstice and we're coming into some new eclipses. And I would love you to tell us about that.
Well, you know, starting off with the fact that we just came out of the winter solstice, you know, we had a pattern that would look like the letter Y if we were to draw it out, called a yod in astrology, and it has that feeling of, I don't know, being caught inside a bottle of champagne since it's New Year's Eve.
Oh, boy.
And somebody shaking on it with their thumb on it. Like there's this tension that says something's got to give. There's something I've got to do. There's some inner mission nagging at me that is trying to come out. But it doesn't have a natural, comfortable, easy way to come out. And see, that energy is with us for 3 months until the spring equinox. And of course, we're seeing that in Congress with the whole fiscal cliff thing, which is saying...
I gave it a title, Mark.
Yeah.
It's called the I Don't Have a Clue Club.
But I have to do it anyways.
We have to quit the I Don't Have a Clue Club and come into something called world consciousness.
And it means we have to be willing to start the process without necessarily having it well-defined in a blueprint form.
Absolutely. World consciousness, that's coming from the heart. And you know what? You don't have to fill out a form. You don't have to send any money in. There's no dues. You don't have to go on the internet and try to find anything. It's free. It comes from the universe. And if you listen to your heart and tune into these wonderful new energies that have been coming in since the 21st, you'll be able to work everything out.
And what a wonderful New Year's resolution it would be is to say, I'm going to look at the things that my heart is calling me and the things that are no longer calling me,
mm-hmm.
and be honest with myself and start doing more of the things that are heart-centered and less of the things that, you know, you're done
with. Of course, the best thing to do, Mark, is not to do anything that your heart doesn't call you to do. And instead of working with the mind, to start working with the heart. Because even though you may feel over the next 3 months, as you said, through March, that you have sense of losses, the best thing that's going to happen is that there's going to be a flower growing from this seed into something of who you really are. And you just really do have to trust.
And I think that it's a process for me, because I'd love to say, oh, yeah, this doesn't call to me anymore, but there's some things I still have to do that I'm locked into. But for me, it's a process that, oh, I'm gradually releasing these things in a, shall we say it, in alignment with the universe kind of a way, rather than the part of me that would just like to chop it off and say, be done with it.
Yeah, and though some people have to chop it off and be done with it, or it's going to repeat a cycle that could get a little bit worse and worse. I also want to add in and bring in the violet flame. I want you to talk about the violet flame, because that is so powerful.
Well, you know, there are many tools in the metaphysical world for changing energy, and the violet flame, for anybody that loves the color purple, or if they're familiar with a master by the name of Saint Germain, It's an energy of changing energy, where we can go in and take things that are of a lower frequency and raise them to a higher frequency. And, of course, the way I do it is I just call in the violet flame, I set my conditions for the highest good, and then I surround and enfold whatever that issue that is that's going on in my life that I would like to, the word we use is transmute, to change the energy from one thing into another, and to do that in a non-judgmental way. So if you're working with a person who has a disease, cancer, and you go in and help raise those low-frequency cancer cells to a higher frequency, the lesson is that, well, we can do that, but we can't judge what the result is going to be.
Absolutely. Because I'm going to tell you why. The person has to get into something called forgiveness, not only for other people, but for themselves. And if that's called free choice, don't you agree, Mark? If that person cannot go into that, then you can't do much either.
And so if you're going to go in and, for example, use this violet flame to transmute energy, and there's all sorts of techniques on my website, astromark.us, for doing that. But
Right. What
you have to do is release your need for a expected result, because that person could choose to leave their body and leave planet Earth, or they could choose to have a miraculous healing. And whichever they choose is really none of your business, basically.
No, it's up to the soul. Have you ever had a person absolutely choose and say to you, I'm sorry, but I really am going to leave because that's what I need to do? Have you ever had that in your experience?
I have. And
what happened, Mark?
Well, in one case, there's been several. I've been doing this for a long time. In one case, the person couldn't stand to see the people in their life suffering anymore. So, you know, they chose to leave themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen people who just plain get tired and say, I've had enough, mm-hmm. you know, and they just can't get the energy together to, you know, get out of that I'm tired, I've had enough kind of a phase, and then they choose to, you know, leave.
And the one that I have going on for me is, I told you, my twin sister, she's refusing to forgive. I will not forgive. I was right. They have to tell me. I don't care what you say. And that's very sad, because that really makes you hold on to the disease which you created in the first place.
And the only thing we can do as people in service is to surround that person in love and honor them in whatever their choice is.
Right, right. Honor is the word. Honor
yeah.
them whatever their choice is, which means you can't be heartbroken over their choices. You need to understand that whoever is choosing to leave is choosing to leave on their own terms. And if they have to do another lifetime, so be it.
I heard a definition of compassion that I really liked. It went something like, compassion is allowing another person to be where they're at the pace they're at, and not trying to, you know, change them when they don't want to be changed.
Mm-hmm. I accept you as you are, and I give you to the universe. I give you to spirit. I accept you as you are. I want you to be who you are, and I give this energy to the universe.
You said it much better than I did.
Oh, Mark, I think that does it, though. It's really hard. It's hard because that's really letting go of all connection. Don't you agree?
I agree, and I will tell you, with the astrology that's coming up this year, the letting go process is going to continue.
Yes, it is, very heavily.
And I don't care if that's through, you know, sisters, or whether that is through things that happen in schools and malls that are
that's
bad.
That's right, and that's been going on, too. I have a little sentence that's very, very profound, but it also might be a little difficult for some people. I will not be afraid to go where the universe leads me. I will not be afraid to go where the universe leads me. Now, that can be a little difficult, especially when the children are shot in Connecticut.
Yep.
Those beautiful little children.
There's a movie I like every time I get into a headspace that I forget that. It's called Four Feathers. It's British Go to Sudan kind of a movie, and I won't go into it all, but basically it's about a guy who ends up helping another person and puts himself at risk to do so, and when that happens, and the guy asks, hey, why'd you help me when it's put you at risk? And he says, well, God put you in my way, and I had no choice but to be of service. In other words, the guy didn't go looking for it, but it came to him, and it was his to do, and so he stepped up into it and had the courage to do it.
That's interesting, because I have always taught that whoever comes into your life comes in for a reason. They have a lesson for you. They can stay for a short time or a long time, but whatever it is, the universe has led them there, and therefore you have to deal with what the issues are.
And that includes your own issues, which in some cases, as you know, can be having healthy boundaries and saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's your job to help, and sometimes it's your job to stand up and say, I'm not going to enable you.
I'm in the middle of learning that right now. Mark, could I please have your website so that people know how to get you?
Sure. It's www.astromark.us, A-S-T-R-O-M-A-R-K.us.
And my website, I'm Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, is www.new-visions.com. Mark Dodich, a wonderful astrologer, especially with relocation charts, and I will be back right after these messages. Thank you.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com.
Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, The Truth About 2012. This is a new book by Elizabeth Joyce. People are being shaken awake. Sometimes it takes a kick in the pants to wake us up. Looking from a higher perspective, we are experiencing birth pangs of a higher consciousness, the fifth dimension. The three spatial dimensions of height, width, and length, along with the fourth dimension of time and timelessness, we are familiar with. But what is the fifth dimension energies? Mark Dodich, astrologer, says if you are opening to a greater spiritual dimension of your inner self, then this is the book for you. Ascension, How to Access the Fifth Dimension. Go to www.new-visions.com or amazon.com and get the book. It's a must read.
Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the eighth, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Schulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio. The number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and you were listening to William Vitalis saying he's going to fly to where the stars burn. And of course, that's where the action is. After December 21st, 2012, with all this new energy pouring onto the planet,
Everybody's going to want to tune in and work their chakras and then fly to where the stars burn. I have tonight as my guest Mark Dodish, a renowned astrologer. He's worldwide known, and we are talking about astrology. And it's New Year's Eve, Mark. I want to talk about love. So can you tell me a little bit about a comparison chart and what you do when a woman comes and said, Mark, I'm engaged. Here's the man's name. Tell me it's going to be wonderful.
And isn't that a loaded question? Because as astrologers, we have to be honest with what we see.
Absolutely.
And what I will tell you, and I've been doing relationship compatibility charts for longer than I want to tell you, but you always see talents and you always see challenges. And when a couple comes together, which is my favorite time as opposed to when just one of them comes, mm-hmm. it's sometimes you'll see when you're talking about a talent or a challenge, one will be waving their head yes up and down and the other will be shaking their head no. And you think, okay, here's a talking point because they're not connected here. And other times they are just plugged right into each other. And so that's what you do in relationship compatibility. You say, oh, here's where the harmony and flow is, and here's where the challenge is. And just to give you an example, Michelle Obama's son is in Capricorn when she is born. Capricorn's solid down to earth. It's aligned with President Obama's Saturn, which is a long-term thing. So that's like a long-term indicator that you would see in a relationship. Mm-hmm. However, when you look at their moons, her moon was in Pisces, which is very floaty, drifty, intuitive, mm-hmm. feeling-oriented. His moon was in Gemini, which is very mental and intellectual. So on an emotional level, they look at things in very different ways. So they have to understand within each other that, oh, we do things different emotionally.
And so, and I think that that's been a life lesson between many, many, many married people, Mark. It's really interesting.
Absolutely, and the relationships that last find a way to work with those challenges.
But the Gemini and the Pisces square each other, so maybe that would be a real problem.
Well, what their lesson then is adaptability. Where do we need to be flexible and adapt? And mm-hmm. if they get into what we'll call my way or the highway hard-headed thinking, the relationship will never last. But if they say, well, you know, we'll do it your way this time and my way the next time or something like that, then they can find a way to make those kind of challenges that go on in the chart work.
Now, I do believe in harmony. And do you think that that is a lesson to the soul to think about, okay, now you have to look at other souls and you have to make your decisions according with the harmony of the other soul? Because that's a hard aspect, that Gemini Pisces.
It is, and of course my belief is that everybody who comes into our life is a reflection of some part of something that's going on within us, mm-hmm. and that they show it up or they shine a light on it so that we need to look at that. And in the case of like the Obamas, we know that they have lessons in getting in harmony emotionally with each other. As far as the structure of their life, you know, how they're going to live their life and the things they're going to do in the world, that's pretty much, you know, on board. They don't have to work as hard on that, but the emotional piece is something that they do need to work on.
And the Pisces part, the moon part in Pisces, Michelle had her moon in Pisces, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Would be more willing to be adaptable because Pisces is adaptable. Pisces is the flow channel. It's the one where it can be anything with anyone, anywhere, and it can be what it needs to be for survival at any time. That's what I believe about the Pisces moon. But they're also excellent liars. Excellent liars. And they can make something seem this way when they really, truly inside think something else.
Well, and that is true. But the other thing that's true is they can just not see what's really there. They can just see the piece that they want to see.
That's correct.
And so that isn't, that part isn't really the liar. That part is the, I'm only seeing, you know, through rose-colored glasses, shall we call it.
Don't tell me the bad stuff, only tell me the good.
Yes, yes. And and don't we all love clients that come in and say that exact thing?
All the time. I mean, I have somebody come in and say, now look, I'm dating a married man. I don't want you to tell me I shouldn't be, and I don't want you to tell me that it's not going to work. I just want you to tell me the good stuff. How can you deal with that?
Well, you know, first I honor them by saying, you know, hey, I'm willing to look at here's the good stuff going on. and not to be judgmental with the client, because, you know, these things happen in the life, you know. But also, if you see, for example, the planet Uranus is active in their relationship, well, Uranus rules hot, passionate flings, here today, gone tomorrow. And if you see something like a big Uranus... Yeah. So what you'd tell them is something like, to keep it positive, you'd say, hey, you need to give this a test of time to make sure it's not just some wild fling. And usually with Uranus,
usually
it is a fling.
When you have a Uranus relationship, it does die out pretty quickly. And that's because the people have other responsibilities and they're not facing them in the moment.
Yeah, or sometimes they just needed a break from their life and... go out and have some fun and set themselves free and open their mind to new possibilities, so that if they're stuck, and it isn't necessarily about lasting forever.
But the other person doesn't feel that way, and so that can be a problem.
And I think when a person is working from a spiritual perspective, that they can be honest with themselves and say, you know, hey, I can see this relationship for what it is, not just for what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, then that means they're trusting that connection between them to be perfect for what it is, rather than, you and I both know that when we get our expectations out of alignment, we usually end up having things not go the way we anticipate.
Or sabotage ourselves, or really be disappointed in what we thought was, is called, I know that's what I see, but it's not what I see.
Yeah. And so it just requires us to be true in our spiritual being and be honest with ourselves. And especially with all this water element coming in 2013, is I have to trust the process to unfold. Is this going to be the love of my life relationship, or is this something that's helping me to get to the next step so that I can find the love of my life?
And we know that water is emotional. We also know that it brings tears.
That
doesn't mean
pain.
You're going to have tears, but if somebody did pass, if you're waiting on a parent and you're wondering what's going to happen with them, or you know somebody that's very ill that may, you know, have a prognosis, then you're probably going to lose them in 2013. But 2013 is also about new beginnings and about sitting down and manifesting that which you can do, because with these new energies, you can manifest. Let's talk about the eclipses, Mark. And I know I want to have you back in March.
Sure. So there's three eclipses coming up this spring, and I use about 3 months on either side of an eclipse as its range. There's two lunar eclipses, one on April 25th and the other on May 25th. And the interesting thing about them is, you know, eclipses will work in the same polarity of signs for about a year and a half. So, like, we get a message for a year and a half of something that we need to learn. And the one
and
coming
what
in May...
is it in, Mark?
Well, the one in April is in Scorpio Taurus, which actually started last year. So that has us doing the cleansing and the release and the deep level healing work, and opening up to new values is what that is about. And those are going to continue for a while. But the May 25th one is the final one of the Sagittarius Gemini, which has been requiring us to open up our mind and looking at the world in new ways, and hopefully remembering that this life is an adventure, not just hard work, okay?
Yes, because it reminds us that it's either for work or for play. We have to love both, work and play, and sometimes you don't give yourself enough for play.
And that's going to be part of this spring's energy, is we'll call that work hard, play hard, just to give it a name.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that's going on is a solar eclipse, which will be on either May 9th or 10th, depending on what time zone a person's in. East, it'll be on the 10th, and west on the 9th. But that eclipse is going to be real interesting to watch, because it's the exact opposite bookend of the one that we just had in November of 2012.
My goodness.
So the one in November 2012 was in Scorpio, and this one's going to be in Taurus. And the path of the eclipse actually goes from Australia across the South Pacific.
New Zealand and the Western Pacific, yep.
And there were, because I watched these things, I know that there were numerous large earthquakes in, like, Vanuatu, you know, South Pacific, middle of nowhere places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, places that don't really make the news, but when you're watching for this, you go, oh, hey, there were a lot of eclipses, or not eclipses, but earthquakes under that eclipse path. And the eclipse path in May is very similar to the one last November.
And this is what I'm getting with it, is that it can interrupt your sleep time. I don't know why, but I think that there's going to be electrical energy enough that you may not be able to sleep, or that you may sleep too much. And you have to be careful of those energies.
And I don't know anybody in the past couple of years since, you know, Uranus or Neptune's moved into Pisces and all that. Everyone's sleep pattern seems to be changing.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true. Well, that's the new, the fifth dimension energies, which I'm always talking about based on my book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. And the fifth dimension energies are having these various cycles of where you sleep a lot and then you don't sleep. And until you bring your body into balance with the new energies, I don't think it's anything to be concerned with, but it would be nice if people could be aware that this is happening.
And to watch their dreams.
Right.
And keep a journal. People with more vivid dreams than before.
What I'd like to do now is listen to how high the moon is, and maybe we can learn a little bit about astrology and the stars.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's that you love me, it's out of use. Where there's music, I'll dare how far. Where there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, still my heart, I'll hide.
And that was Les Paul and Mary Ford singing How High the Moon. And I always want to know how high the moon is, Mark. And, of course, it's the Leo moon tonight on New Year's Eve. And I would love to know how high it's going to go. We come into the full moon of Capricorn on January 11th. So do you see positive things happening between now and January 11th?
I do. In fact, the planet Mercury has just moved into Capricorn, so that's kind of leading the way into this. And, you know, Capricorn is roll up your sleeves and get to work and be willing to actually put tangible effort into manifesting your goals. So between Mercury moving through Capricorn in the next few weeks and the sun still in Capricorn and that new moon coming up on the 13th, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong calendar, but the new
11th.
Moon coming up on the 11th,
right.
Also in Capricorn is, hey, we can create some productive goals here if we're willing to, you know, Capricorn use language like I sacrifice in the long term or the short term for the long term good. And so the people who want it and they want it yesterday are going to have a problem with this. But the people who say, hey, I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and get to work and make my life better over the long term and put some effort into it, there's rewards for that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, I think
so,
that's
yes,
terrific.
That's
and I do think this is going to be a better year, just like what you said. And I do think that although we're worried, everybody's worried about money, everybody's worried about what's happening with the old dollar in the bank, I think it's going to be a better year. I do think I see real estate picking up. Do you see real estate picking up?
Gradually, yeah.
It could be gradually, but through the summer months, and then Jupiter moves into Cancer, and of course that always picks up real estate.
That'll totally help for the year that Jupiter is in Cancer from end of June 2013 to June 2014 should absolutely be good for real estate. But remember, we've got the Uranus square Pluto we've been talking about in the past months, which started in June of 2012 and goes to March of 2015. So we're in a phase of we'll call it shifting in rocky waters that will get better, but, you know, not quickly.
We have to go through the destruction before the reconstruction.
Yes, and we'll be better off in the long run, but the short run is we got to clean our closets.
That's true. And you have to clean out that closet. As painful as it may be, you really have to let go of stuff. So, Mark, let's have a little message for you for 2013. What do you see coming and what do you send out to the world?
Well, I see people learning to trust their connection to, we'll call it God within, on a much better level. They're trusting to be in the flow and harmony of what's going on rather than needing to excessively control it or have a neat blueprint. And that requires opening to your intuition to know what's the right thing to do and then trusting yourself to do it. So all of that, to me, feels very good. As we get stronger towards summer, there's going to be things that start to get a little bit pushier, saying, let's get moving faster and faster. And that's a good thing, too, but for many people, you know, that's not always in their comfort zone. And so what I would say in early this year is start clearing the decks and making space, even though you may not know what's going to fill that space, so that when you do know what it is, you'll be ready for it.
And you know what helps with that? This is going to sound really strange, but cleaning out closets, cleaning out drawers, and having your garage sale. This is the time to do it, because this is the time to absolutely clear all that you do not need away, and then you can make room for the new. You create a void, and the new energy comes in. Mark, it's been wonderful having you on the show, and I do want you to come back for our March equinox, which would be great.
Sure.
And if you give your website one more time?
www.astromark.us, astromark.us, and they can sign up for the free newsletter there.
And that would be great. You can also reach Marsh Dotage through bbsradio.com. And this is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and I am going to say goodnight for New Year's Eve. I want to tell you that we are back on January 14th, and my guest will be Karen Doonan, and she is an author, a channel, and a spiritual facilitator. She says you cannot fail at what you cannot be. And she says that we came to be something. We have to follow our blueprint, our wonderful guides into what we need to do and manifest it now. So that'll be exciting to talk to Karen Doonan on January 14th. Thank you and good night. It's time for the meditation. Please sit in a chair, both feet flat on the floor, and we'll see you on January 14th. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out.
And now it's time for the Let's Find Out meditation. Please sit with both feet flat on the floor, spine straight, close your eyes. Take some deep breaths and begin to relax. Feel the light pouring into your crown chakra throughout your body. God is the foundation of health, prosperity, wisdom, and eternal joy. We make our life filled and complete when we have daily contact with God. Take the time. Give your attention to the Almighty Power that is giving you life, strength, and wisdom. Pray that unceasing truth flow into your mind, unceasing strength flow into your body, unceasing joy fill your soul. Take a deep breath. Feel the Shakti energy filling you up with light. Feel your inner self tingling and receiving this light, and thrilling at the freedom and joy it brings. Feel this light flowing through your entire being. Become one with the spiritual energies of your blessed higher self. Join your body with your universal body. Feel it. Join with it. Meld into it and become the light being that you are. Take a deep breath.
Know your strength, know your path, and walk it as a son or daughter of God.